going to be continuing our service on Mind, Much, and More. And I'm really excited about this message series. I was excited that Pastor Anthony asked me to speak, and I was excited to be able to do that. But I just want to recap a little bit about what we've been kind of going over, because there's been a lot of good stuff. And so the first week, Pastor Anthony talked about how we think everything is ours. We have our fists so tightly held onto the things that we want to possess, that they're ours and we want them. And so we say, this is mine. And he encouraged us to open up our hands and live a life with open hands and say, you know what, this is God's. And we can't get what God has for us when we hold on to things really tight. And so he did that 2 weeks ago. He talked about how we need to let this stuff go and realize that it isn't really ours. It all belongs to God, and we need to be faithful with that. Last week, he talked about the talents and the treasures and actually stole what I was going to use for this week. But it's fine. Don't worry. I found something else. The Bible's good like that. Anyways, he talked about how when these guys were faithful with the treasure and the talents that their master gave them, how they got more things. And so for me, last week was a huge wake-up call. I didn't realize or correlate that it was the attitude of the heart. How they viewed the master is how they were faithful to the master. Like how they viewed their master determined what they did with the talents and the treasure that they were given. And that was a huge wake-up call for me. Like, what am I being faithful with? Am I being faithful with what God has given me? Am I doing what God has called me to do? But today, I want to talk about more. I want to talk about how we need to go above and beyond what we have or maybe what we feel like we can do, because God has more for us, not just as individuals, but as a church. And so when I was praying and asking God, like, what do you want us, how do I communicate this idea of more? This is going to drive me crazy. Can I just have the handheld? And the guy was talking about obedience. And I just really want to read this verse in John 14:21. It says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So here Jesus is saying that I will make myself known to him, that I will give more of myself to him, he who loves me. And when we are walking in obedience of God, we have positioned ourselves to receive more from him. Not stuff, not more. What stuff can I get? Because we've already learned that it's not about the stuff that we have, but more of Christ, more of his presence, more of his spirit, more of him empowering us to do the work that he has called us to do as his followers. And I just want to encourage you guys. Sometimes we think that we can't do anything. We're like, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not in great shape. You know, I don't sing well, so I can't be in worship. But guess what? There is lots of things for us to be doing. And if you're not dead, there's more for you to do. If you have a breath within you, there is more work to be done. Because last I checked, Jesus hasn't came back. The world isn't over. We have work to do. And we need to stop sitting on the sidelines and just watching the world pass us by and get mad about all the things that are going on in this world and not stand up and be the people of God who he's called us to be. Because we are called to be a people, a faithful, obedient people. And God wants to give his people more, but we are stuck with this mind mentality and we can't prosper with more when we can't even be faithful with what he has already given us. And we need to remember that. And I'm thirsty. So I'm probably going to run out of this water soon. All right. We are going to take a look at three different verses and sections in the Bible today. And I want to talk about some stories where this idea of more happened, this idea of getting more, doing more, going above and beyond happened. And the passage I chose is a really long passage, and I don't want to read it all, so I'm just going to read bits and pieces, but it's in the app. So it's 1 Samuel 17, and it goes through verse 44, starting at verse 12. But here, we're introduced to David. And I know Pastor Anthony, I remember I was like doing this, I'm like, oh yeah, he just talked about David and Goliath when he had Melvin on stage pretending to be Goliath, and I remember that. So we're going to kind of do a quick recap since we already have that information. I know you guys all listen on Sunday morning every time Pastor Anthony talks, so I know you all remember. But we are introduced to David, and he was the youngest of Jesse's sons, so he was the youngest, and there was this huge battle going on. And David was not able to go to the battle. He was taking care of the sheep. He was tending his flock. But Jesse said, hey, David, I need you to take this cheese and grain to your brothers in battle. I need you to go check on them for me. I need you to go make sure they're okay. He was really asking him to make sure they were still alive. He really wanted to get a word back from them. So he really wanted to check in on them and make sure they were doing okay. And so David goes to battle, and he hears this giant guy. I know, you know, I can't imagine how big this guy was. And my husband's pretty tall, but he was bigger than my husband. So I'm like, that's really tall. So there's this big guy, a tall guy, and he hears him mocking God, the God of Israel. He hears him mocking God's, he hears him mocking God, and he gets really angry. I'm going to pick it up in verse 24. It says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were afraid. They're talking about Goliath here. And the man of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him. So they're saying, whoever kills this guy, the king's going to give him lots of money, lots of wealth. And it says, and his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. So he's going to get a lot of good stuff if somebody can kill this guy. And so David says that. That was not me. David says, in verse 26, it says, he said this out of righteous anger. So he said, and David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done with the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way. So shall it be done with the man who kills him. So David's like, who is this guy? And like, why are you letting him just defy God? Why are you just standing around doing nothing? Look, you guys have armies. Why aren't you somebody taking care of this? And so in the next set of verses, 28 through 31, David's brothers overhear him saying this, and they get all mad. They're like, you just came here to see blood and guts. You don't really care. You're just some young kid, punk. Go home. Go tend to your sheep. You don't know what's going on around here. You know, sometimes we dismiss people because we think they don't understand or they're too young. I'm guilty of that. But here, God uses, in the Bible, God uses tons of young people, young generation, to wake us up sometimes, us oldies here. Thank you. Verse 32, David says to Saul. Saul overhears him, the king. He hears him, and he's like, who is this kid? And David says to him, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He's like, I'll do it. No one's going to do it. No one's going to step up. I'll do it. And Saul says to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth. And he has been the man of war from his youth. He's like, you're just a kid. This guy's been fighting since he was a kid. You're not going to be able to do this. And David's like, I can do it. Let me do it. He's like, he tells Saul in the next verses down, he tells Saul, like, I've killed lions, I've killed bears and tigers. I've killed all these things. I can do this. And David was not afraid because he knew he could do more. He knew that he could step up, and he could, through God, he could do more. In verse 36, it says, your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God. He was angry. He's been talking bad about God. He's defying the armies. He is not doing the right thing. I'll do it. In verse 37, David said, the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. This is always interesting to me because it's like, first they're like, no, you're too young. You can't do it. But then he's like, okay, go ahead and you try. Go ahead. It's fine. You try and go do that. In verse 38, Saul is trying to put clothes, his armor, on David. And I was reading this passage just this morning, and it was like Saul was trying to give David things to fight a battle that weren't David's to fight in. And I was thinking about how does that correlate with what we're talking about here? And it's like what Saul had wasn't for David to walk in victory. Because David already had everything he needed. He had God. God had called him to do this. He didn't need all the stuff that Saul had. Saul was trying to be a good guy, trying to give him his armor, trying to like make himself feel better for sending out a teenager to get killed by a Philistine. He's trying to make himself feel better, but David wasn't called to fight the battle in Saul's armor. Just like we're not called to fight the battle in someone else's armor. God has given us the armor to provide for what we can do, and we need to walk in that with what God's called us to do. In verse 37, David says, oh, wait, sorry. Verse 38, Saul clothed David with his armor and put the helmet of bronze on his head and the clothed him with the coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't go in these, for I have not tested them. So he took them off. Like I said, he's like, I can't do it in this. This is too constricting. This is too heavy. I need to do with what God has called me to do. In verse 40, it says, then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked at David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the fields. And we're going to stop reading that verse passage there. But it just amazes me, this story. We all know what happens. Spoiler alert, he takes the stone. Giant goes down. You like those sound effects? Thanks. Anyways, and the giant goes down. But why am I reading the story when we're talking about more? Why are we reading the story? Because David went there to deliver cheese and grain. And he saw an opportunity to do more. And he stepped into the opportunity. And he doesn't think about really the next thing. He just thinks about what has to be taken care of right then. He's like, I got to get this taken care of. I can do it. I can take care of it. If you're breathing, you can do it. You can take care of it. God has called us to be people to take care of it. He empowers us through his Holy Spirit. He is with us always, the Bible says. He could have just given the food and been like, peace out, I'm going to go back to my peaceful field with sheep. But he didn't do that because he knew that through God, all things are possible. He knew that God gave him strength. And he was obedient to the call God had on his life. And I have 3 children, and obedience is a constant struggle in my family. And it's a constant struggle for me, if I'm real. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be real with ourselves. We are not always obedient. Or am I the only one? See? I'm not the only one. But anyways, we're not always obedient. He didn't need Saul's armor. He had the armor of God. We have the armor of God. We have all the tools we need that God has given us. And just like David, he used his treasure, his talent, his time, and he did a great thing and became the king of Israel later on. Because God had called him to that position. God has called us to the position. I don't know what's going on. All right. And I was thinking about David more, and I was thinking about how his brothers were at the field, and they were like, you know, kind of complacent. We kind of like get this place of complacency. I know for me sometimes it's easier for me to sit on the sidelines and kind of watch other people do things. And sometimes we're just tired. Like, I was thinking about this idea of more, and I was thinking my week. My week has been insane. Some of you guys know I'm going to school. And if you don't, I'm going to school. And I have to do this internship. And so I'm like, you know, this is going to be a pretty easy semester. I just have this internship. I'm only taking 1 class. It's math. No big deal. Big deal. Math and this girl, not a thing. I literally spent from yesterday from noon to like 8 o'clock on math. It was the best day of my life. A lot of tears, a lot of words I can't repeat, a lot of things. But God has called me to do this. And sometimes we get stuck in this life where we're like, we have nothing else to give. And that was me, honestly, this last week. I was asked to speak, which I was excited to do. But then I had this... I had this school internship that's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. I have homework with my internship that's not required by my school but required by the internship. And I'm doing 8 hours of training twice a week. And I have work and I have kids and ballet and blah, not me, my daughter, blah, 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 blah. All these things. And I'm like, I can't do anymore. I'm going to die. And I just was like, God, I literally can't do more. And I think I even told Pastor Anthony, I'm like, I am going to go crazy. I literally can't take on one more project. And I was praying and asking God, and I said no. And I hate saying no because I'm a big people pleaser and I love to please everyone. But God was like, no, I didn't call you to this. This is not what I've called you to do. So, Ladina, why don't you listen and practice what you preach and walk in what I've called you to do and let someone else get there more. Let someone else step up and do what I've called them to do and give other people an opportunity to actually do something instead of trying to do it all yourself. Because so many times I'm guilty of this mindset of like, I'll just do it myself if I want it done right, because no one can do it as good as I can do. Okay? But that is not what God's called me to do. He's called me to help and to teach and to assist others to do things so that they can receive their more that God's called them to receive. And so sometimes we're at that place. And if you're at that place this morning and you're like, I have nothing else to give. I literally crawled here on my hands and knees by my nails just to get to church. Like, that's where I'm at. That's okay. God wants you to rest in that Him and be encouraged and be set free and walk in His grace and then stand up and do what He's called you to do. It's okay to rest for a while, but don't sit there and get stuck and moldy, okay? That's gross. No one wants to be around somebody with mold on them, okay? Stand up and do what God's called you to do because He is giving you the strength. It's not our strength anyways. It's His strength that He has given us. And so more is taking big steps of faith and waiting for God to meet you. More is taking big steps of faith and waiting for God to meet you. Just like David, he took big steps of faith and God met him in the middle of that battlefield. Okay, still with me? All right, we're going to switch to John chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. That's a lie, 1 through 14. Sorry, thought you're going to get out easy. All right, verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" And he said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread will not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and said to him, "There's a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what could they do for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they wanted. He didn't put a limit on it. He gave them as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." So we read this passage of this boy in his lunch. And I always like to be like Lunchable, peanut butter and jelly, whatever you like for lunch. Just think about it in those terms. This kid, we don't know how old he is, but he had an opportunity to be like, "Sorry, suckers, I'm just going to sit over here and eat my PB&J. You should have packed your own lunch because I got my own lunch and I'm not going to share." He didn't do that. He saw a need, he stepped up, and he was able to offer something. Now, in normal circumstances, without God, 5 loaves of bread and 2 loaves of fish would not have fed many people. But God blessed that, and it grew to feed plus 5,000, plus 12 baskets full. So it was more. God made it into more. Sometimes we just have a little bit to give, and God can make that into more. Sometimes we just have to give out of the little, and God will grow that into the more. And we have to be faithful with the little. We can't hold on to it. We have to be faithful. And I think that sometimes we put a limit on God. We're like, oh, since it's not that much, you know, it doesn't matter. God can't do anything with that. God can't do anything with my little 1 hour a week or 5 minutes I have here or 10-minute phone call I need to make or this cup of coffee. God can't do anything with that. You don't know. You don't know what that will do to somebody's life. You don't know what that cup of coffee, the more it will provide to somebody else, what God will use that to provide the more that somebody else is needing at that time. Because this isn't about money, like Pastor Anthony was saying. I was like, he said that, and I was like, how is it not about money? Like, that's all I can think about, mine, much, and more. Money. Obviously, that's my problem. Because it's not. It's about our time. It's about our talent. Now, we all know that I don't sing. Some of you may not know that. I won't bless you with that here today. Maybe later. That's not my talent. My talent is serving in kids. I have three kids. Sometimes I just want a break. But I like serving in kids. I love teaching them in their eyes when God reveals something to them when they're 2 and 3 years old and they're just like, oh my gosh, they get it. When you get to ask them, hey, what'd you learn about? And they don't just say Jesus. They actually tell you what they learn about. It's exciting and it's fun and it's like you're able to share this truth that's so pure and so real to this little kid. And it's exciting and fun, and that's where my talent is. I love to do that. It's one of my favorite things to do. And my treasure, my money, yeah. I hate talking about money because I always feel like people are like, it's all she ever wants is my money. It's all she ever asks for. Guess what? I'm not asking you. It's God. You want to be mad? Get mad at him, okay? It's what he commanded me to do. I'm just walking in my calling. But the truth is our money is God's money. And sometimes we don't like to talk about it because we're greedy. That's ugly. But true, we're greedy. We don't want to give $35, $40, $50 to sponsor a kid out of the country. We don't want to do that. It's my money. I really need a new pair of shoes. My Starbucks, Dutch Brothers, BlackRock, whatever. Whatever. I want to keep that. It's mine. It's mine. But God's like, no, it's not. I want to give you more. I want to give you much so you can do more. So be faithful with what God has given us. Just like this kid was faithful with his lunch, and God did something amazing with it. God was able to take what was his, this kid, this is mine, and turn it into much so that it was able to do more than it was supposed to do. And I'm going to say that again because we need to be listening and hearing this. It says, God was able to take what was his mine, and turn it into much. And it was able to do more than it was supposed to do. We want to hold on so tight. We don't want to give anything away. We just want to live in our little life bubble, and not do anything else. But God's like, no, I've called you to do more than what you can even imagine. I've called you to do much than you can even imagine. I want to do more through you. I'm so excited that we as a church are going to be going on this missions trip. I've been to the Philippines 2 times. Once on a mission trip, and then once I went with some friends because I love it there and I would live there if God would just call me there. I'm asking. He's not answering. Anyway, it's fine. I'm not upset about it. So I've been there. It is the most amazing place to go. The people are so loving. They give you everything. They literally have nothing, and they give you whatever they have, whatever they have. They have a little bit of rice. They're like, here, eat this rice. You're like, I don't want to. But if you say no, it's really insulting. And you're feeling so guilty because they're hungry, because they haven't eaten for maybe a day. Maybe this is the only thing they eat. But I'm so excited we're going as a church because it's so exciting to be able to go and be able to learn from other cultures, other people, and be a blessing to them. Not save them. That's not our job. We're not going there to save them. We're going there to join with them and partner with them and help them reach the people of their islands and their communities. And I'm excited that we get to be a part of that because we saw the need. We're going to step up and we're going to do what we can, and God's going to turn it into more to reach more people across the nations, across the globe, through us as his followers. Same with compassion. I'm so excited that we have a outreach director, pastor of outreach, who literally her passion is our community. And she puts on these things like compassion, and she calls people, and she makes all these contacts so that we could be a generous people that God's called us to be. Not fellowship church, be generous, but we as an individual, as people, be generous and partner with our communities and these different things that God has called us to do to make the impact in Salem. See, it's not just about reaching across the world, but it's about impacting our own community as well. We need to be a people of big thinking and not just think, oh, well, I can't be a missionary, but can you help your neighbor out moving? That's fun. Everybody loves that. But can you do that? Can you take 5 minutes and have a cup of coffee with someone? We could all do that. We could all be a people of more and of much if we would just let go of what we think is ours. So we are going to transition into the final scripture that I'm going to read today. And it's in 2 Corinthians. And it's 8 verses 1 through 6. And it's about this church. And this church gave out of its poverty. And we're going to read about it. It says, verse 1, it says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the church of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity on their part." I'm going to read that again. It says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, their trials, their abundance of joy and extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." This church was going through some hard things, and they were struggling, and they were having all these afflictions and trials, but they gave in their extreme poverty. They gave above and beyond, and they were begging him to be able to help take care of God's people. And I was listening to that podcast by that pastor this week, and he was talking about being a church of generosity and wanting to be known as a church that loved people. And I was like, I want to be known as somebody who loves people, because not every day am I bright and cheerful like today. Sometimes I'm a little grumpy, and sometimes I forget what I've actually been called to do, which is reach people for Christ and not focus on my own self. Sometimes I forget that. But here, this church is wanting to help with the relief of the saints. They're wanting to help provide, and they don't have very much, but they're giving above and even more. And verse 5 says, "And this is not what we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." So there's a key there. There's like a formula. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. So first, they made sure this was right so that they could take care of what God's called them to do this. So we have to make sure our relationship with God is first. Verse 6, it says, "Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace." So here, we learn about this church. And like I said, they were going through hard stuff, but they decided they wanted to give above and beyond. And I want that for us, not just for Fellowship Church, but for God's church in general, for the church. I want that for us. I want us to be known as a place of generosity, a place of refuge, a place of hope, a place where God is there. You're broken, you're struggling, come to church. God is there. He wants to be there. He wants to be with you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal those broken hearts. But we have to be faithful with what God's called us to do. We have to be able to do what God's called us to do, that so we can be the more, that so God can do more with what we have, and not get our blindsides on, and not get so focused on our own world and our own lives that we forget what we're called to do. So often we hold back. So often sometimes we get stuck. We hold back. We forget the people. There's real people in this real world that are dying and going to hell around us. And we get stuck and we forget that. And that's the truth. And while I want this to be encouraging to you guys, I also want it to challenge, because God challenged me when I was doing my message. God challenged me and be like, okay, this is all great, Ladina, on paper. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to actually listen, or are you just going to tell people to listen and expect them to? I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person I was before God showed me that I need to be a person about what he has. Not what I have, but what he has. I want to be blessed, God, in every aspect of my life, with my children. That's the hardest sometimes, is to be a reflection of God to those people in our own lives, our circle. Because we're safe with them, so we're like, we could be jerks. I could be a jerk. But God's like, no, I want you to be, you are mine, so I want you to be faithful with what I've given you, your kids, so that you could be the more, so you can, they can be encouraged and they can see a relationship and know what that looks like and be that example for them. We need to be faithful. God's called us to do big things. We have big ideas that God has called us to do, and we need to be faithful people. God has called each of you to be faithful. He has something for each of us to do. And I know that's like everybody says that, but it's true. That God has called you to do something, and he wants you to do some great things. But if you can't be faithful with the little stuff, we can't do the great stuff. If we're not faithful with our 5 loaves and 2 fish, then he can't feed 5,000. If we aren't willing to give that up for him or give that to him. If we're not willing to step out and do those things. This is all awesome and great stuff. Today I was a quick talker, so we're going to close a little early today. I'm sure, but we can go down to compassion and journey. That's great. So as the band comes and we just do some time of reflecting, I really want us to just get rid of the distractions around us. And I want to talk to you guys here for a second, because maybe you're here today and you're like, this is good stuff, but I haven't made that connection with Christ. And if you haven't accepted Christ, or he isn't your savior, or you haven't even taken that step of faith, then this doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't mean anything, because without Jesus, none of this is even possible. So I just want everybody to kind of close their eyes right now, just kind of focus in, because I know that God is stirring us. He's been stirring me this week to see what I can do above and beyond, what I could do more for him, where I can give up those things that I've been holding so tightly on, afraid that if I let go of them, then you know, I'm going to lose myself. But God's like, I want to do so much more than that. And I think about Jesus, and I think about giving more. And he did the ultimate. He paid the ultimate price. He's the one that gave the most. He didn't have to come here to this earth. He didn't have to die on that cross, and he didn't have to raise from the dead. He didn't have to do any of those things. But he gave of himself so that we could experience more. So we could experience heaven, so we could experience relationship with him, with God, and have a relationship with each other and reach tons of people. He did all those things. He did that for us because he loved us. So Jesus is the answer to every question you may have. I know that sounds cliche, but it's very true. He's the answer to the hopelessness. He's the answer to the loneliness. He's the answer to the depression. He is the answer. And if you're struggling today and you've never made that commitment to him, then today's your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and he wants to have that relationship with you. We can't give of ourselves if we don't have relationship with him first, because we can only do these things that he's called us to do through him. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, if you're listening online and you've never made that decision, then I just want to encourage you to just ask him. You just have to say, you know, God, I can't do it on my own. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you died a death that no one could die and lived a life no one could live. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart that Christ is risen from the dead, we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, that we will be saved. It's not a magic trick. It's just us realizing that, you know, I can't do it on my own. And actually walking in that and learning. And if you've made that decision today, we want to talk with you in our Connect Corner. We have a Bible for you. We want to help you get on the right track. But maybe you're here today and you're just like, Ladina, that was really great. It's a really great message, Ladina. But what does that even mean to me? Today, maybe there's giants that are blocking your view. Maybe you have a giant that's taunting you. Maybe you have something that's keeping you from what God has called you to do. And today, maybe your step of faith is maybe just stepping up and being like, acknowledging that it's there, and then getting some people around you to help pray that giant down. Maybe that's your step of faith. That's how you're going to get the more God wants to do through your life. Maybe that's for you today. Maybe you're here today and you have a PBJ and people are hungry and starving around you. Maybe that's you offering your small gift so that God can make it into more for someone else. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're loaded and God's like, you need to be faithful with your money. Maybe you're poor like that church, like me. And God's like, Ladina, you need to be faithful with the money I've given you, and you need to be obedient, and you need to give like I've called you to do, even when it's hard. Maybe today, after walking down through that compassion journey, you see one of those little kiddos' faces, and maybe God's calling you to sponsor a child. Maybe that's the way you're going to get your give, let God use you to do the more he wants to do for someone else today. Maybe that's what that is. So I just ask you today to be open and to ask God, what is it, God, that you have for me to do today to so that I can be the more that you've called me to be, and you can do more through me. And Pastor Anthony said this last week, and I'm going to repeat it. I don't have the slide, but it says, nothing is mine, it's God's. When I am faithful with what God blessed me with, I will be entrusted with much. And out of my abundance, that we can only get through God, I can be blessed and give you more. That's what God wants to do with what he has given us. Look at that. I'm going to read it again. It says, nothing is mine, it's God's. When I am faithful with what God blesses me with, I will be entrusted with much. Out of my abundance, I can be a blessing and give more. What is the more God is calling you to give today? Because we all have it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore that voice that you're trying to push down right now so hard because you don't want to hear it. Embrace it and do it and see what God will do through you to reach people for him. God, I just thank you for your faithfulness.